This is HPR episode 2818 entitled, Writing Web Game in Haskell, Science, Part 1, and is part of the series, Haskell. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 43 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutoto explains types and data they used to model science in their Haskell game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, you are listening to Hacker Public Radio, and this is Tuukka Turto. Today I'm going to about an aspect in my game called science. And this is a pretty big topic, so I'm going to split it in two so that this won't be too long episode. Instead it will be two short ones, hopefully. So, pretty much every 4X game has a research and big technology tree, and mine isn't any different. So the first part I'm going to talk about how to model the research, what kind of database, what are the relations between things. And on the next time I'm going to talk how the research actually works, how things change over time. So this system is pretty much copied from the Stellaris and Victoria 2. Stellaris is another 4X game by Paradox. It's set in space. And Victoria 2, I don't actually remember who made that. I'll find it out and put it in the show notes. And that's set into the Victorian era. It's not a space game. But both of them has a aspect of research. And I want to add some of my own flavor later on, but this was already big enough to write, so one step at a time. The basic idea is that there's three types of technology and three types of research. There's engineering, there's natural sciences, and then there's social sciences. And that's pretty coarse division between fields, but Three sounded a fine idea. Not too complex, not too simple. And each of those categories are divided into subcategories. Like in the engineering, there might be a material science, and in the natural sciences, there might be a biology, and in the social sciences, there's a statecraft. And then there's the technology tree, but it's not shown to the players. When I have been playing those other 4X games, I have had some sort of analysis paralysis when I'm presented with a huge, large tree, and then I try to figure out what I want to do first, so that I can get to the point in the tree where I want to be. So here, we are not showing the tree for the players. They can have one of each type of research going at any given time. So they can have one engineering, one natural science, and one social science project going on. And they are given three random ones to choose from, when they start playing, they are given three random engineering researches, three random natural sciences researches, and three random social science researches that they have to pick from. And when they complete the research, then they are presented three new ones. And there are some technologies later on planned and implemented that can raise this limit. So when they unlock certain things, instead of three, they are presented four options to choose from. There is three behind of everything, like there's a researches or projects that don't require anything, and then there are another projects that regard that you have completed something before you can start researching those. They are more advanced, they build on top of the old ones. But it's not shown to the player, they are just shown set of the projects that they currently could research if they had access to them, three random ones that they choose from. And every research has a cost, like, and in points, research points, and those research points are produced by the buildings. And there are different kinds of buildings that, and they of course produce different kinds of research points. There could be nature institute, there could be engineering school, there could be a deep sea exploration base, there could be a Forum Romanum, things like this. They all produce research points that are available for the player to allocate to the researches they want to do. And like I said, when the research is completed, it unlocks things. If you research, for example, caravel hulls, then you get access to the caravels type of spaceship. And then you can start researching some more advanced hull type or something completely different. Okay, so let's look at the implementation. There's a database behind of all this, like always, and there's a three tables. Exact definitions are in the show notes, but the gist is that there's a current research that tells what is currently being researched that has a three fields. It has a type as a technology, progress as int, and faction ID as a faction ID. And the technology tells what is being researched, progress tells how much points have been accumulated to that project, and faction ID tells which faction is doing this research. Available research is another table that has this tells what researches are currently available to the player to choose from. And it has three fields, type as a technology, category as top research category, and faction ID as a faction ID. The type tells again which technology could be researched. Category tells which top research category this research belongs to. This is not, I could have derived or used a function to get that top research category from the technology, but I wanted to place it in the database so it's easy to manipulate the data. You'll see later on why it's that. But that essentially tells if it's a engineering, natural sciences or social sciences project. And faction ID again tells which faction has access to this. And last table is completed research. This tells what researches have been completed. This is what the code queries when it wants to see if some faction has access to something. For example, building or a specific spaceship or whatever the researches have unlocked. But here we have a type as a technology, level as int, faction ID, and date as a int. So again, type tells which technology it is. Is it some specific hull? Is it a better farming equipment? Is it a universal basic income for your planet? Things like this. Level as an integer tells which level you have. I'm going to model things like you can unlock something, but you have very low level of that something. For example, if you figure out how to build Caravels, for example, or cogs, you have a fourth touch of spaceship. You have first you have access to very limited version of that one, and when you do a little bit more research, you get a better version of that spaceship available for you for building. Like your scientists and engineers and whatnot figure out that hey, we can improve this if we do something, and then you can have better access to better version of it. So it's not enough to just unlock something, but you have to. Well, you don't have to work, but it sometimes makes sense that you do some extra research to sort of level it up. First, you get a very experimental technology prototype, and then later on, you get more mature technology. So that's in that level that as in. And again, faction ID is the faction ID it's the ID of the faction that has this technology available to them, and date tells the star date when this was unlocked. But it's not that pretty simple database, in my opinion. Three tables and only one relation to the faction, essentially. There's no relation between these three tables. Data types. So, again, these are shown in the show notes. It might be a good idea to take a peek at them. I try to explain them as clearly as I can. And here I'm showing something called deriving. I have been doing that before, but I haven't been talking about that as much. So, basically it means when you are defining your own data type, you could write function that compares equality. So if you define a new data type, you cannot compare equality. If you have two values of that, you cannot compare equality. You cannot say if these are same or not, unless you implement equal instance. You have to define a function that tells you that R is equal. And Haskell can do that for you in some cases. There's some basic operations that you can, that you could write by hand, but you usually don't write, you instruct Haskell to do that for you. And that is done with that deriving. And what I usually do is I derive the show and read. These are, show is for turning the data into string. For example, displaying it on the screen. It's really helpful during when you're working on with the code. And read is for taking that string and turning that back to the data. Equal is for the comparing equality. These three are usually what I have pretty much everything that makes sense. Well, equal not always, but most of the time. And then there's many, many other ones. And I'm going to talk about, these are type classes what you are deriving, and I'm going to talk about those in some another episode in more detail. But now it's enough to understand that if you have an equal instance, it means that you can compare your data type, if it's the same or some not. And if you have ord instance, it means that you can compare the ordinality, which one is bigger than, or are they the same size. First one, technology. This is an enumeration of all possible technologies. This is a data type. I mean, this is an enumeration of all possible technologies, and I know it will be big in the end, because, at least I hope, because one thing I like about 4X games is that you have that big technology stack tree pile that you can explore and unlock things, and then you find something new and cool. So this one will list all technologies that are there. And only part of it is shown in the show notes. And it is written as data, technology equals high sensitivity sensors, 5 side channel sensors, 5 high tensile materials, 5 satellite technology, 5 Wally hulls, 5 Schoner hulls, 5 Caravelle hulls, and so on. And in the end, there's a deriving open parents show, read, EQ, enum, bound, ord, close parent. So now if we have a value of technology, something is technology, then it can be one of these. It can be Wally hulls, or it can be side channel sensors, or something else from that list. Then there's the top research category that I mentioned. This tells if the research belongs, what category it belongs. So this is data. Top research category equals eng, 5 natski, 5 sokski, and then deriving clause at the end. So if you have a top research category somewhere, it can be one of these three values. Basically engineering, natural sciences, or social sciences. I shortened them a bit. I don't know if that was a good idea, but I'll live with that for now and maybe change it later. The thing I like about Haskell is that compiler is really good telling you when you made a mistake. So if I in the end want to change those names to something else, the compiler will help me to fix the code. It won't help me to fix the database though. So because in the database, the research category is stored as a text. So if I change M to engineering, the code will work, but the data in the database will be incorrect and it will throw a runtime error for me. So I would, at that point, I would have to, if I were to make that change, I would have to go and check the database and fix all the eng text to engineering text. And that is a pain. Research category, next data type. This is more refined division of the fields. So, for example, the engineering has industry, materials, propulsion, and field manipulation as subfields. And here I'm just saying that data research category equals engineering subfield, 5 natural science subfield, 5 social science subfield, and then the deriving clause. And here, research category can have 3 values. It can be engineering, natural science, or social science. And each of these values is parameterized by another type. So if you have engineering, it is parameterized by the engineering subfield. So essentially, when I have a research category somewhere, I know that it can be one of those three. And I know that each of them can have some additional information. But I won't accidentally mix a subfield of the engineering and social science with each other. And then for example, the engineering subfield would be data engineering subfield equals engineering subfield. That would be data engineering subfield equals industry, 5 materials, 5 propulsion, 5 field manipulation. And that tells what I can put into the engineering subfield. Next is a research score. This tells what is the size of some research. And this is defined as a new type. That means that it is essentially like a int number. And during the compilation time, the research score actually will be converted to the int. It will disappear from the code. It is there only to help the programmer to keep this int separate from some another int. So the idea is here that I need to keep track of research core. I don't want to mix it with something else accidentally. I define a new data type for it called research core, and that helps the compiler to tell me if I'm about to mix things up. But during the compilation, it will be converted back to the int after the program has been type checked. So there won't be any performance problem with this. Like it is just an int. Not that the performance impact will be big anyway, but sometimes it might matter. And this is defined as a new type, research score A equals research score, curly bracket, unresearch score, :, int, close curly bracket, deriving, open parent, show, read, eq, ord, num, close parent. And here I have the ord and num that are new. Ord means to recap, that's ordinality. I can compare. If I have two research scores, I can compare which one of them is bigger or are they of the same size. And num adds some numeric operations. I can add, subtract, multiply. I can take the absolute value. I can check for the sign. I think that, I can convert a number into research score. And this is a phantom type. There's a, on the left side, on the type constructor, that new type research score A. That A is a type parameter, but that type parameter doesn't appear on the right side. So if I create a value of a research score, the A will be something, I don't have to specify that when I'm creating it, because the compiler will infer that from the context. Actually, I cannot specify what it is. Compiler will infer that from the context and at latest from the type signature of the function where it is being used. And from that point on, that research score value will have that A type parameter associated with it, and it will keep track of it. And that type parameter can differentiate between different types of research scores. For example, if it's a cost of something, I can say that this is a research score and engineering cost, for example, as a type parameter for it. Or I can say that this is a research left. Then this research score tells how much there's a research left to be performed. So not only I have a research score type that makes sure that I don't mix this int to some another int, but I also can have different types of research scores so that I don't mix them accidentally with each other. And then there's this is one int basically. Then there's a total research score. So if you remember, there's three types of research. There's the engineering, there's the natural sciences, and then there's the social sciences. And that total research score groups all this together. So that is a data total research score A equals total research score, open curly bracket, total research score engineering, :, research score engineering cost, :, total research score natural, :, research score, natural science cost, comma, total research score social, :, research score social science cost, close curly bracket, deriving open parents, so, comma, read, comma, EQ, close parent. So, total research score is a type, or that is a record that has a three fields. Total research score engineering, total research score natural, and total research score social. And each of these are research score, but they are using that phantom type that I explained, or tried to explain. I don't think that was a particularly good explanation. But using that one, I'm assigning them that this is an engineering cost, this another one is a natural science cost, and this third one is a social science cost. So I don't accidentally mix them with each other. And then there's a bunch of singleton values. These are types that can have only a single value. And at the beginning, I was thinking, what's the point of having a type that can have only a single value? If you have a variable of that type, it can only have single value. So what's the point? But the point is that I can use that type in the phantom types, for example, telling that this total research score is some specific type of total research score, or this another research score is some specific type of research score. And that's the reason I'm using these singleton types here. So there's a engineering cost, which is just, well, these are, because these are singleton types, I don't bother rattling out the definitions. I'll just tell that what the types are, and the value is named is the same. So there's the engineering cost, there's a natural science cost, and social science cost. These tell the different research scores, different types of research scores apart. Then there's a research cost. Then there's the research cost, not to be confused with the research score, like I just did when I was wondering what I have thought here. So there's a research cost that tells that some total research score is about cost. Then there's the research production that tells that the way I'm using it is tells that some total research score is about production. And then there's the research left that tells that some total research score is about how much of research there's left in something, presumably some project. Okay, research. Now we are getting to the thing that all this was built because of this, basically. So research is a type that tells details of a research. It tells what technology it unlocks. It tells what you have to research before you can start researching this technology. It tells what's the cost of doing, how much of research you have to do to unlock this. There's a tire that I'm not using yet, but that will be used in the point where player is given those random technologies to choose from. The tire here is quantifying how advanced the technology is. So I'm thinking that I'm going to weight the randomness to favor lower technologies. So if you have 5 random technologies, 3 of those will be lower ones and 2 ones will be higher ones on average. You might end up in a situation where you have 5 low tech researches, or you might end up in the situation where you have 4 high tech ones and 1 low tech one. But that's where the bio is going to be used. So, definition of the research, it's again a record. It's a data research equals research. Open curly bracket. Research name, :, text, comma. Research type, :, technology, comma. Research category, :, research category, comma. Research antecedents, :, open bracket, technology, close bracket. So research antecedents is a list of technology. :, research cost, :, total research cost, research cost. :, research tire, :, research tire. Close curly bracket, deriving, open parenthesis, show, show, read, eq, close parenthesis. So there's several fields. There's a name of the research as a text. There's the type of the research, that's the technology. There's a category, research category, that tells if it's a what kind of engineering or social science or natural science research this is. There's the research antecedents, that is a list of technologies that you have to have unlocked before you can attempt researching this one. There's the research cost, that is a cost of this research. There's a total research score, engineering, natural and social in depth. And then there's the research tire, that is just I think I didn't even talk about the definition, but that's basically the same, similar definition as the research score. So it's a new type for int. I have a bit of dilemma, because the research cost is a total research score here, meaning that there's a three values. But then it can have those three values at any given time. So it is possible that to define a research that has cost in the social sciences, engineering sciences, and the natural sciences at the same time. And then in which top research category that would belong to? Maybe to the one that costs most there. So I have been thinking that if I should actually change the total research score from the record to be a type that it can have those, it still can have a social sciences, natural sciences and engineering costs, but it can have only one of those at any given time, because the system is heavily leaning towards that direction. It's on my list of things to ponder about, but I haven't reached any conclusion there yet. But anyway, that's how you define research currently. And we need a tech tree. So this is the tree that holds all possible research that can be done. And it's actually a list. I wanted to name it tech tree, but then I ended up defining it as a list, because list is much nicer to work with than tree, I think. And finding a research based on technology is a common operation. So I defined a mapping for that. So the tech tree is just a list. It's a list of research. And then there's the tech map, that is a map of technology and research. So it's I think in some languages these are called associative arrays, in some languages these are called dictionaries, and here they are called maps. This is a bit confusing, because then there's the map function, and then there's the map data type, and they have very little to do with each other. And okay, so the DeckMap is defined as a its type signature is DeckMap :: map map dot map technology research. So it's defined in a module called map, and its type is map. That's why it's map.map. And it takes the type takes two parameters. It's parameterized by two variables. First is the technology. That means that we are using technology as a key, and the research is the value, meaning that when we have a technology, we can quickly look from that tech map if there's a corresponding research. And that's done with a function called lookup. The lookup type signature is a lookup :: ord k, fat arrow, k, arrow, map, k, a, arrow, maybe a. Meaning that k has to have an instance of ord, so they have to be ordered. You have to be able to tell which one is bigger than which one. This is because internally the map is represented as a binary tree, and you need to order to build that tree for quick lookups. So k is something that has an ord instance. The function takes a k, which is the key. Then it takes the map, the data structure of that has a k as a key and a as a value, and it produces maybe a. So if you find if the key is present in the tree, you get the value associated with the key, you get just a. And if it's not present, you get nothing. So it's our friend maybe once again here. And so that is used, that lookup can be now used for the retrieving the values from our tech map. But I didn't want to define the tech map in a way that I would manually build the tree, the binary tree. So I used a helper function from list, which is really nice, because here I can give a function. From list takes a function that returns a tuple, where the first value is the key and second value is the value that is that will be associated with that key, and list. And it will, based on those information, it will build you the binary tree. So DeckMap equals map dot from list $ open paren slash x arrow open paren research dot x comma x close paren. So this is our lambda function. When we are given x, it will return a type. It will return a tuple where the first element is research type x, so we are calling research type function on the x, and the second element is the x. So presumably we are handing over here research of records, and the x will be the research type. If x is research, then the research type of x will be a technology, and the x will be research, of course. So we are getting a tuple back where the key is a technology, and first element is the technology, and last element is the research. And then we continue the definition. Dollar diamond, untech tree, tech tree. Because tech tree is a new type, and from list doesn't understand that new type, we have to take that new type apart and present the regular list to the from list. So this will take our directory list, unwrap it from the new type, and for each element it will create a tuple where the first one is the research type X, which is a technology, and the second element is a research, and from those it will build us a directory. Tecnat, which is actually binary tree, and from there we can use the lookup function to quickly find items based on the technology. I could have defined this in other way too, but like first define the tecnat and from there turn it to the list, but I ended up creating the list first and then realizing that this is a silly, so let's build a tecnat tool for ease of use. Might be that I might even get rid of that list completely. I think I'm not currently using that that much. That's the thing about writing programs. No matter how great plans you have and great ideas, at least for me, I always end up going at some point, hey, this was not the greatest idea. And then I'll leave a little to-do mark in the code and spend week or two going over that, thinking about it, and then at some point I either remove the to-do or I rework the code completely from that point. So that's about the how the data and data types and database are defined for the research. So there's a relatively many things going on. In the end, it's not that many things, but there's still. It certainly felt quite a lot when I was writing this. And the thing is that there's those three database tables that tell what is currently being researched, what could be researched, and what has been completed. And then there's the technology tree that is presented as a list, and then there's a quick access to that via our map, where you can search with the technology. And both of those contains a group of research type objects, records that have bunch of information telling them what kind of research this is, what does it unlock, and what has to be, how much it costs to unlock this, and what has to be done or research before you can start researching this one. That's the gist of it. Next time I'm hopefully going to go into how the whole thing actually works. Where do we fill in the data into the available research, and how that moves from there to the current research, and from current research to the completed research, and what does this mean in the for example spaceship building? Okay, the best way to reach me currently nowadays is either email. That's my correspond page in the Hacker Public Radio, or I'm also relatively active at the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social. And if you have any questions, comments, ideas, whatever, I would love to hear from you. Even better if you record your own episode about things. At the same time, I'm trying to do another sort of mini-series where I talk about a little bit about programming in Haskell, so that it would be easier to follow what I'm trying to explain here. So thank you for listening. Ad astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.